This is James Lee Baker, and you're listening to the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus.
Welcome back to the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus. My name is Lou Lombardi, a.k.a. Ludini. And today we have singer-songwriter, guitarist extraordinaire James Lee Baker on with us today. James is just a fantastic singer-songwriter, fingerstyle guitarist that if you are a fan of great guitar playing like I am, you are absolutely going to go nuts over this stuff. It's absolutely killer. So we're going to have a really good time meeting James and hearing a little bit about his story and his music. First of all, though, you are listening to the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus, and our website is LudiniRockAndRollCircus.com. Please check back often for more great podcasts and great interviews. We have a lot of different features there. We do Wicked Riff Wednesday and Bluesy Tuesday, and we do Rock and Rants, and then we have our regular music podcast. We go live every Tuesday night on Facebook on Rock Rage Radio Live. And it's a good time with my co-stars, Lily V6 and Keith the Hawk Hawkins. We always pick an interesting topic and mix it up with the audience. You can find out more about that at LudiniRockAndRollCircus.com, where you can also pick yourself up a little bit of merchandise there. So feel free to do that. And if you are the kind of person who likes to dig a little deeper and maybe wants to meet some other cool people that are really into the same kind of thing, great guitar-driven music, I highly recommend that you get involved with our inner circle. That is LouLombardiMusic.com/inner circle. There's no fee or anything like that to join, but it's a great group of people, and there's exclusive music and exclusive video there. So you can find out more about that at LouLombardiMusic.com/inner circle. Now, as I was telling you guys at the beginning, we have a classically trained musician, James Lee Baker, who fuses influences from acoustic singer-songwriters like David Mead, Ellis Paul, John Gorka, it's a name I haven't heard in a long time, Bob Dylan. He embraces open tunings to create an unconventional but a welcoming sound and timbre to his playing. So, James, welcome to the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus.
Hey, Lou, thanks for having me here.
All right. So, how did you, you know, obviously you're a very serious guitar player. Did you start out on guitar? Was that the first instrument that you were sort of drawn to?
No, actually, my classical training is primarily in vocal performance. I was raised in a musical family and ended up going to college for a couple of years as a vocal performance major. I switched majors later on and pursued a career in technology, but continued music past that. So
what when you first started playing music, like, what inspired you other than your family? Or was that what it was?
every adult in my life, for the most part, had some musical ability. My father was a drummer, mother played guitar, my grandfather was a piano player, my grandmother wrote gospel songs. Wow. My brother's a tuba player. So yeah, music's very prominent in our lives, and it's sort of when it gets to that point where it's so ingrained into your life, it's not really something that inspires as much as it's a necessity. It's sort of baked into who you are, and so if I don't do it, I get restless. I need some kind of creative outlet. I think it's just part of who I am.
So tell us a little bit about how you learned to become so proficient as a fingerstyle guitarist. You worked with a pretty respected guitar teacher.
Yeah, so I was, I don't know what year it was. It must have been 2000, 2001. I lived in a town, Amarillo, Texas, and there was a fingerstyle guitarist who came through town. His name was Richard Gilowitz. He's from Florida. He was trained under David Walbert in Alabama, and he's inspired by a lot of things from Leo Kottke and a few other fingerstyle artists. And so I just was really discovering his music again. Actually, what happened was I heard him and I thought he was really impressive, but I never followed up on him. And like 4 or 5 years later, I managed to find out what his name is, because his name's a little complicated. So that's kind of why I lost it. So when I discovered his music again, he was sort of this gateway drug for other artists. And through him, I discovered Michael Hedges, which revolutionized my understanding of the acoustic guitar. I learned about Leo Kottke. I learned about Gove Scrivener and John Renborn and all of these other artists. And I just sort of got immersed into that. And then the more I looked into Richard, the more I realized that, I discovered that he offered guitar lessons through the phone, which seems kind of odd. But what he would do is he would send over pieces, and then we would connect on a phone. He had a headset, and we would just he would sort of listen to what I'm doing and kind of give me tips on things and answer questions for me. And I think it was like $30 an hour because it was over the phone. But it was that sort of like light guidance from him and my passion. Once I discovered that I could actually do this stuff, and it wasn't as difficult as it looked, it just required a lot of practice.
Yeah.
I just kind of immersed myself into it. So even to this day, like I probably have 20 guitar pieces that I can just play on the spot from these various artists. And that was sort of the foundation for me being able to understand the instrument better, understand alternative tunings and their relationship with the instrument.
Okay, so what do you have going on right now? Is this a full album that you have out now, or is this you're just putting out singles? What is the sort of process that you're going with?
Yeah, it's been kind of changing back and forth a little bit. I wanted to initially put out an EP last year, and I had a few songs, but I also had a catalog of things I hadn't released. And I think I was able to put together 10 songs, pulling two songs from a previous project and remixing them because the lyrics had changed. And I was able to put out a full LP called Home Again that came out in December. But the album itself as a whole is a little more Americana country kind of pop, rock pop sort of stuff, you know?
Okay.
And so that wasn't really going to go over well with the folk community. And I'm working hard to try and establish a presence in the folk community. And so I released a 4-track EP in March of this year called The Canadian River. And I took one of the songs from the LP and re-recorded it, stripped it down a lot. And then the other three songs are more folk oriented. And so I released this sort of folk LP or EP, and then I sent it to the folk community. And I think the EP did pretty well. I think it charted like the Canadian River, the single charted at 23 on the Folk DJ radio chart. So not bad for my first time on folk radio.
Yeah, not bad at all. Is it really that segregated? Because see, I'm familiar with artists like John Gorka and Bruce Coburn and guys like that through local radio station here in Pittsburgh that does, you know, a lot of that sort of Americana stuff, and they kind of mix it in with the folk. And maybe because my tastes are pretty eclectic, I don't really hear those two things as being so, you know, diverse. It's not like the difference between, like, you know, death metal and hip hop. You know, it's to me, I kind of hear a relationship. I mean, to them, how do you feel about that?
Well, the folk community is like any community. There's a spectrum, and people would consider my music not strictly folk.
Okay.
And so the not strictly folk is surprisingly less popular in the folk community than the pure folk stuff. And when you think of pure folk stuff, it's abandoning the pop formula, the use of choruses and bridges as much, not necessarily always. And the instrumentation is stripped down. It's more storytelling. It's more protest songs. It's
right.
less breakup songs, less ballads, that sort of thing. So yeah, and if you're like if you're a very conservative folk listener, like when you listen to more pop formula based Americana music, it's sort of a turn off. So, you know, I think it's because of the association with the pop formula and country music, at least this modern day stadium country music that sort of doesn't have a lot of substance at times. So that's just my opinion.
You did do, you know, like you mentioned that you had done a record that was more in that sort of Americana vein. Do you feel more comfortable in the purist sort of vein with your music?
No.
Or are you okay?
I'm a pragmatist, and I'm also, you know, I'm a pragmatist, and I'm also a moderate in things that I do. So I believe in both sides having an opportunity, and I think my music is very blended. I think being able to incorporate rich storytelling. The thing about the pop formula is that it's there's a psychological reason why it's important to the listener, because I can't tell you how many Bob Dylan songs I've gone through, and I just stopped paying attention after like the first minute and a half, and so I don't know if these people, if I just have ADD and the folk community doesn't, okay. You know, but I get lost without some kind of diversity and dynamic and arc in the song's performance. Okay. So that's why I resonate with that formula. Plus, I also grew up under a heavy wing of classic rock. So okay. I'm very familiar with classic rock, and that was sort of the foundation for my modern music understanding.
I got you. Okay, makes total sense. All right, so we're going to go ahead and listen to a song right now called The First Time. And this track is this is more in that Americana kind of folk rock sort of vein, correct?
Yeah, it's very contemporary and it's rock flavored version of like Americana. Yeah.
Okay. All right, guys, check it out. This is The First Time by James Lee Baker on the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus.
You put your brand new car in first gear, release the brake and restrain your fears, let off the clutch and feel the wind in your hair. You turn the corner and you grip the wheel tighter, just like the rail of the roller coaster. You admit you've never done this before. Her skin, so in control and yet so helpless. Oh, how you've yearned for a moment like this, for the chance to be her first kiss. Choose instinct over inhibition, not what might have been. One thing you feel.
Okay. So let's talk a little bit about what you have coming up here. You've got the album that you released. You are doing some more folk, more, you know, stripped down acoustic type stuff as well. So what is like the next maybe 6 to 12 months look like for you?
Well, I'm taking a break from performances to focus on the writing process, the collaboration process. So the next few months, the next thing I've got on my plate is in January, I'm going to Blue Rock Studios in Austin, Texas, to record two or three songs with Chris Bell. And Chris Bell is a producer that has worked with artists such as Don Henley, the Eagles. He's worked with Christopher Cross, Destiny's Child. So he's got a pretty diverse and notable background. And so I'll be working with him and some other session musicians to record a few songs. Mostly it's just sort of a taste test for, you know, if it's a good fit long term. Because I have a vision for the next project, and want to make sure that, you know, I find the right fit. So I've heard great things about these guys. From there, I'm in March, I'm going to New York City for a session with Least of All Vinyl. They do direct lathe to vinyl recordings. So I'll be doing individual song recordings for fans, and we'll be starting a campaign for that in January. In February, I'm going to Montreal, Canada for the Folk Alliance International Conference. And then I think beyond that, I may have some bookings coming up in the on the East Coast in March. But that's really the next 6 months for me.
What is this vision that you have? You sort of alluded to when you were talking about your next project.
Well, I've been doing a lot of mentoring with Ellis Paul. He's a, for those that don't know, he's a notable and very well-established folk, contemporary folk songwriter, and he's been an inspiration to me for many years. But he took me under his wing a couple of years ago, and we started doing songwriting coaching and things like that. And the more we got to talking about the industry, the more clear it became to me what, you know, what the next project needed to be. And that project's going to be a, you know, 10 to 12 song LP that's going to be very delicately recorded. It's going to be sparse in instrumentation, but laser focused. It's going to be a lot of storytelling, and hopefully get some really great session musicians to just deliver a solid, tasteful a folk Americana project. It definitely will be, there'll probably be some like still pop formula in the writing, but it's going to be so reduced that it's going to feel very comforting in the Americana vein.
You've mentioned live stuff, other musicians, etc. What is the, do you typically perform just solo? Because I mean, your guitar playing, there's definitely enough there that, you know, nothing is really lost. But do you ever perform live with other musicians backing you up, working with you?
Yeah, I do. I do tend to perform as a solo artist, and I target listening room venues. It's a wonderful and comforting energy to have that intimacy with people. So I enjoy that. But when I do play with others, it's not usually full bands. I recently did two shows in Denver, Colorado. Both were listening room shows. And I have a friend, his name's Chuck Letts. He lives in Denver. He plays lap steel and pedal steel and dobro. And so he was accompanying me. So that was a lot of fun because I had a pedal steel player and an acoustic guitar. I had a friend of mine also. She joined for some background vocals. So it was a very tasteful and intimate experience. And that's really kind of what I'm targeting.
Okay, cool. So why don't you go ahead now and just plug your stuff, your websites, et cetera, or the best places for people to find you on the internet.
Sure. So I'm on Facebook. Facebook's, my username is James Lee Baker. Same thing with Instagram. You can also find me on everywhere that you can download or stream music. I'm on Spotify, Apple, Google. If you want to look for shows or merchandise or anything, you can go to my website, which is jamesleebaker.com.
All right, James, thanks for taking some time to talk with us today. I really enjoyed it. I love the music. And we did play the first time, but guys, check out some of James Moore stripped down stuff. His YouTube channel, my opinion, is absolutely not to be missed. If you are a guitar aficionado, you are going to be really blown away by James's guitar technique. It's just dynamite. That's all I can say. You know, I'm a guitar player myself, and I was like jaw on floor. Really, really enjoyed it. So if you are into great guitar work, please check out his YouTube channel, because there's some close-ups and you can see what he's doing. He could pick up some ideas. So check it out. All right, James, we're going to wrap up the podcast. If you can hang out for a minute, I need to do a little business with you when we're done. You got a minute to hang out?
Yeah, sounds good.
Okay, cool. Awesome. Hey, guys, that was James Lee Baker, and you can go to jamesleebaker.com, and he's on Facebook as James Lee Baker, Twitter, Instagram, all that stuff. James Lee Baker. Check it out. Please check out the music, and do not miss that YouTube channel. I can't stress that enough. You're really going to enjoy that. LudiniRockAndRollCircus.com is our website, and if I wanted to mention that if you are listening to this right now and you're going, oh, my God, this James Lee Baker is so freaking amazing. I love this. Hit the share button, no matter where you're listening. If you're listening via iTunes or wherever you're listening, there is a button to share it to your social media channel of your choice, okay, whether it's Twitter, Facebook, whatever you like. And let your friends know, because this is how music gets promoted. This is how it gets going in 2018, almost 2019. It's you guys. You guys are the music business. So share it around. Get it out there. Let people know about it. Let your friends know about it. Because this is how we get these great artists the due that they really deserve. So don't forget to hit that share button. And one more time, if you are, you want to get involved with a really cool group of people that are really passionate about great guitar-driven music, please check out my Inner Circle at LouLombardiMusic.com/innercircle. Oh, it's been a lot of fun, guys. I really enjoyed kind of guitar nerding out with James here. So I hope you guys had fun, too. Don't forget, we do a lot of cool podcasts, and we will catch you guys all on the next Ludini Rock and Roll Circus.